I said, no, I really smoked it. And I also inhaled, unlike some people claim.
Hello, everyone. Cannabiz. It's our third episode, and welcome. As we have episode 3 of Cannabiz, I'm Wade McElwain. Joining me is Craig Anderson and Sean Sanderson.
Hey,
we're both in
How's
Canada.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah.
Good day.
So we'll start with Craig. You're in Ontario right now. How's everything going in the summer in Ontario?
Pretty good. We had, of course, the dry, hot spell for a while, as you probably
Is that weed
about.
Or is that weather?
Well, the smoke was actually, that was a misconception that the smoke was from the forest fires. That was all the weed getting
here
in Ontario.
They're trying to blame us for everything down there. What about you, Sean? How's your summer been?
Well, it's been busy. I've been traveling, seen you a few times in London already. And, you know, it takes a few days as get a little bit older to recover from those trips. You know, I like to take it nice and easy over there, you know, get a lot of rest, do a lot of the tourist stuff, you know, nothing too crazy, and get back, need to catch up and get some sleep.
Yes, I love your humility, Sean. Yes, we've had some very fun times. Craig, you were missed. Yes. Let's just say,
invite, guys.
Well, the Shoreditch House and the Soho House, and it's not.
I might have been in the backcountry doing a canoe trip and missed the memo.
The beautiful country where all the green is grown, and Canada where all the crops are being grown this year. What's the weed situation like in everyone's world? And I'm going to give you mine first because I live in London, England, and it's a class. It's up there with coke. You get caught with it, but you smell it everywhere.
That's crazy, man.
It is. It's very illegal. Scotland's talked about legalizing it. You will not legalize it, Kenny. But you smell it everywhere. And Sean, you've probably smelled it when you were here. There are certain areas you go to, it's the whiff is just everywhere. And it's very popular everywhere. You smell it on the pub patio.
So it's very easily accessible.
However, and Sean will also probably attest to this, the British populace are more akin to powders and pills and liquids than they are a herb, which is an interesting thing. You pass a joint, I was like, no, it's gonna mess the fact that I'm ketamine. But
wow,
yeah, I mean, Wade and I were sitting by the pool, having a leisurely Friday afternoon, and past the bud, and there was declining, but past other things, and everyone's like, yeah, I'll take some of that.
Interesting,
they were organized as a coke dealer, yeah.
Is that just city culture, or is that?
I think it's UK culture.
Nationwide,
it's a UK thing. But however, like, there is quite a bit of cannabis culture here. There's a lot of people who love it, people who grow it. It's very easily accessible. However, the weed here, what they do is they've tried to adopt North American sort of life, but it's like Albanian gangs and Eastern European gangs that are growing weed in warehouses, packaging up to look like Canadian and American products, but like with the Tony the Tiger on it and things. You're like, well, that would never sell in California. You can't sell breakfast icons on weed. Like, it's obviously that's not from California, but that's how they're growing it here. And they're selling this as foreign weed, going, hey, these places have legalized it, but it's literally just grown with their sort of skunk method, which is just basically putting a little nitrogen in the soil. So it's not really progressive, but there's a lot of weed smokers. But the fact that it's so illegal has made people create just really bastardized versions of bad weed.
Uh-huh.
And while the rest of them are very happy to do, you know, pills are very big. Vaping is very big. Like, even my daughter's age, all the kids are vaping.
Yeah, I mean, vaping is ridiculous. I mean, just generally vaping everywhere. I mean, you see, it's like soothers, right? I mean, you see a girl sucking on this thing all night long, and they're just like, And I mean, it's all night. Like, they can't stop vaping, right? So I think that the addiction behind vaping, and you not to confuse, like, you know, using vape for weed, but just generally the vape culture amongst young people is crazy. I mean, it's got to be. I don't know if it's the motion of doing it or the taste of it, but whatever it is, I mean, they just spend the whole night doing it, and it's like it never leaves their mouth.
Yeah, and I mean.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Craig. Sorry.
No, I have seen that here too. Yeah, that I wouldn't say, you know, I've seen a lot of teenagers using vapes, but definitely, well, part of it. And yeah, I think it's part of the habit.
Not even just teenagers. I mean, I'd say, like, if you go out to like a club or something or a bar, I mean, you know, in the evening, you know, women that are in their young 20s, they're, you know, I mean, one thing to talk about teenagers, but I mean, the reality is that they become 20-year-olds at some point, and they're just, you know, then there's no limit, right? And sorry, just switch gears on this, because it's, you know, the addictive nature. But I was going to say, it's like, you know, the 80s, I think the 80s have nothing on drug use like the way it is now. I mean, the joke about the 80s and cocaine and all that stuff, I mean, the commonality of people walking around, and I'm not talking about nightclubs, I'm talking about like members clubs with hard narcotics and doing them all night and sharing them. It's quite something, and it's everywhere. It's on patios, it's at the pool, it's in members clubs, it's in restaurants. Yeah. I mean, people have access to hard drugs, and they're doing them a lot more. And I think the joke of it, it's in culture, because every TV show and movie that's a little edgy, I mean, talks about active use of things like cocaine.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Absolutely.
And the sad thing is, too, is that a lot of that happens that we see, a lot of the critics will then blame it on weed and go, well, if you hadn't legalized weed, this wouldn't have happened. and they profligate and sort of confuse the fact. It's like, well, no, that has nothing to do with it. In fact, weed is being used to get these people off of all that crazy crap they're doing. In fact, really, people who smoke weed are not like that. You mentioned even the vape, and even the teen, like Sean and I both have teens. The vaping, it's also how they got those prime energy drinks through. I mean, when you look and you go, okay, how the hell did they allow a beverage with 6 times the amount of caffeine that is just, and the vaping is ruining kids' lungs. Yeah. It's like I think they've pulled it in Canada. They're starting to pull it in the UK. It's like that's lethal. Crazy, and you sort of look at that and you go, the vaping, like, you know, it's ripping little kids' lungs apart.
Yeah.
A prime drink, it makes a line of cocaine look pretty good.
That's a t-shirt, that's... buddy. it's crazy. So, I mean, because Craig, you're living more sort of in the rural areas. You're doing amazing stuff out in the wilderness, and I'm sure everyone would be jealous except for your bug bites. The weed culture there, obviously, you're in nature, you're smoking weed. But if people wanted to get weed where you are, are you going to go to a shop, or are you going to get it from someone you know locally?
I mean, from what my experience and the people around me and what I see, the shops have made it just so convenient. And speaking of vaping, I mean, I wasn't really interested in it, you know, when it first came out. And but the convenience of it, to just have a little thingy to give a little hoot and you're good, it has made that kind of nice. I was always like, you know, I carried a dugout. I still do. Dugout, you 90s. Know, the one hitter.
Throwback.
Hey, Craig, can you explain a dugout for the for everybody? Not everybody is up to speed on what a dugout is.
Commonly, I like the wooden version. There are metal versions, but they're quite heavy. Kind of.
You better quickly explain that you like the wood over the metal. Okay, can you get into that a little bit more?
It's just more natural. I think it's more natural. Also,
you're not helping.
The one hitters were used to look, they still often do, like a cigarette metal, small metal pipe. And so you got this wooden little case. It's about half the size of a cigarette pack, with often a swing top, and it has a hole to put the one hitter in with a little spring to pop it out when you open it. And then the other side's a little storage compartment. And yeah, you just
pull it out. It sounds quite fantastic, actually. I mean, it sounds a very interesting gadget to, I mean, it's basically old school vape pen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, they have tea ceremonies. It's a whole process of, you know, of going through to inhale your substance. And I prefer it. I was always like, yeah, that was the start of, you know, microdosing, really. And that's all I needed was just a little hoot, and I'm good for a while.
You see, I had one of those, and I was, I think, a king of one of those when I was doing stand-up. I mean, I always had one in my back pocket. In the late 90s, early 2000s, that looked like a cigarette, and you could get away with it.
Yeah.
In a bar, you could maybe get one or two hits before the bouncer's like, hey, what are you doing? Because, you know, you can smoke in bars for a while.
Yeah, but indoors is a little bit more difficult, but
it's a bit. But the fact that you still have it as a throwback, I mean, that says that's you're an iconoclast. That's great. But is the culture, I guess, up in that area, is it quite weedy? I mean, it's northern mid-Ontario. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think more people are open about it now, of course. So, yeah, absolutely. It's not, you know, it's not frowned upon. You see older people going into the dispensaries that are getting catching on to it, that the younger folk are recommending it. And so, yeah, I think it's much more open and it is present for sure.
Sean, you're living out in Alberta. Weed obviously is different. I mean, because you guys really went sort of private, unlike other places that went, let's let the government run it. Always a good idea. Alberta free and private. How has it been out there?
Yeah, as I've said, you know, we've got no lack of dispensaries around us. You know, you may have recently recalled that I brought you a treat back to London. And
sent through the somehow. I don't even know how it got. You did not, but it got. I don't even know. Something.
Yeah, no, I used there was international carrier pigeons. Dropped it.
Yes.
But yes.
What I was gonna say is I walked into that store, and it's one of the bigger ones in South Calgary. A beautiful store. I mean, you know, lots of interesting displays. And I mean, for a person like me that doesn't know much about you know, cannabis in general, as far as like types and strains, and it's a little bit overwhelming, but they've got very nice, you know, very high hosts that are walking around telling you, "Ooh, I love this stuff. This is so good." And then you watch the few people that do come in. I mean, there was a rush at one point. There was three or four people in the whole store, but I think that's to my point is like, these are big stores. Now, again, they're not in high rent districts, but on the other hand, I mean, it just doesn't seem like enough traffic. But I think we were talking last time you were asking me about Vancouver, and I just made a recent trip there. And yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. And the thing is, I have a bit of a different opinion again on Vancouver, because I was walking down, you know, one of the main streets outside of what we call, like, you know, the danger zone. And, you know, there's just people laying out on the steps, and they're like out of their minds. And again, it's not weed, it's just everything. And so I don't know if,
was it performance art? Sorry.
Yeah, it was a bit, but again, Vancouver's goal of, you know, decriminalizing certain things. You know, maybe it was more about overdosing, because it's obviously not changed. It's not improving the, you know, the use of it in a way that's, you know, responsible or anything like that. I mean, it's everywhere and people are out of their minds, and, you know, the weed you can smell everywhere. Now, the dispensaries, you don't really notice them so much in the downtown, but obviously they got to be everywhere. But I mean, the whole downtown, every street you walk down smells like Pot Alley, right? So it's interesting. And I would say here in Alberta, you don't quite get the same amount of notice as far as people using it.
What, Would this, and this is a hypothesis, would it be because Vancouver, you know, was originally the destination for weed? That was our place, our Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. Because of that, and since the legalization, do you think that also that Vancouver became the heroin destination? Like when everyone was a junkie, that's sort of where they ended up. I mean, to be honest, of our junkie cities, Vancouver is the big one. So is that part of it, do you think? Or am I overstepping?
It could be part of that, but I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with climate, right? I mean, if you're going to get addicted and not be able to afford to live somewhere and become homeless, Vancouver's a place you probably can survive because of climate, right? I mean, it's the only place probably in Canada that the climate would allow a Canadian to actually survive outdoors for most of the year. I think that has a lot to do with it, is that, you know, they've got things like tent cities and stuff that have, you know, popped up and down over the years. And I think it's because you can actually technically live in a tent in the wintertime with a proper insulation in Vancouver. There's not many other places. I don't think there's any other place in Canada you could survive a tent in the wintertime. Mm.
Vancouver is Canada's Florida.
That's right.
you want to come and live a good life.
It's a balmy 50 degrees or 7 degrees, as us Canadians would say.
Even, you know, Craig and I originally are from the Kitchener-Waterloo area. Uh-huh. Although we went to rival high schools, and I don't think we've ever. Well, that's another podcast. However, you know, the proliferation.
Trojans.
Yay. Crusaders. I don't even. But they're all horrible, I'm sure, in history. But the whole thing is that the downtown core, which, you know, at one point, I remember going back before I even left to come to England, there was so much meth. Like, even the police didn't go there. It was, like, methy, and there was, like, people selling meth and, like, crazy meth strength, and I'd never seen that.
Yeah, man.
And now you go back to Kitchener, and it's full of pot shops, a lot of them, but also a lot of tent cities. You know, Kitchener, you know.
Really?
By the highway. Holy. When I left Kitchener, it was, like, 140,000. Now there's, like, 450,000. I think because they let in 500,000 a year, which is good for housing. However, wow. The thing is, they've seen more and more homeless there, and they're trying to deal with it. I don't know. It's Canada changing. You know, what are we going to do?
I remember going back to Kitchener and couldn't believe how it changed. Downtown district. Yeah, I was afraid to walk downtown. I just came back from like Bangkok and Kathmandu or whatever, and I was afraid to walk downtown Kitchener.
Kitchener during the meth crisis, and I've been through East LA, tough towns in Asia, Africa, Europe. That was the scariest, man, because even the police didn't want to go down there, and methy people are like, they got this crazy strength, and you kind of have to go along with them, you know, because you know, we once got into a scrap with a guy on meth and didn't go well for us. And then we got away. I'll tell you the story. It was with Little, actually. But we let these other guys. Anyway, meth, crazy, bad. Weed is good.
Well, and actually, I hadn't seen living in Asia for as long as I did. Did not see meth. Like, well, or the results of it, or the people around it.
Craig, so, it's there.
Until coming back to Canada.
I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I got tricked. Not tricked, but I mean, I think I get tricked, yeah. I think meth has, you know, it's got some pretty good marketing, right? Because someone was talking to me about this ice stuff, and I'm like, wow, that ice stuff sounds really cool. And you know, they're first of all, it's got a cool name. I mean, you want some ice, and then you know, they're explaining.
Have you seen Breaking Bad? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, now that I know what it is,
yeah.
But at that time, I was like, ice. Yeah, let's get some ice. But I didn't do it. But I think the marketing side of it. You know, maybe we could take some of the, you know, some of those angles.
Well, they talk about that North Korea, that the potential North Koreans are basically mostly on meth. And the reasoning is that methamphetamines have been inflicted. You were in North Korea, Craig. Actually, it'd be an interest. Craig, yeah. I actually played hockey in North Korea. Maybe you didn't see it when you were there, but what we...
Definitely didn't see it. I mean, we were right downtown Pyongyang, the capital. Of course, we knew they were showing us what they wanted us to see, but I mean, to stage a whole city would be a pretty good trick, but you never know.
They didn't take you to meth land. Oh, no, but, we, keep but we, the were, meth
we were, well, I think who they let into the city is, probably restricted. But what we saw was everyday life. Yeah, we rode on the subway, even elbow to elbow with the locals. And we didn't see
they weren't locals. They were all actors on the subway.
That would be Grammy performances by all of them. But you never know.
Did you get to meet the Supreme Leader?
No, we kept hoping he was going to drop in on one of our hockey games. We thought he might. I mean, of course, his image is present everywhere. When you're walking down, I got to get that photo. I got of walking down the tunnel with a hockey team and then coming out into the hockey rink. And they've got the father son paintings up on prominent on all walls, pretty much. So,
wow.
But it definitely didn't see any weed culture there either.
Well, you lost though, so didn't you? I mean,
oh yeah, I think was a
spoiler alert.
We were just
you were brought in to lose.
Yeah, definitely. We were just a collection of guys we had never played together at all. It was just they were looking for some foreigners in Asia that wanted to go to North Korea to play the national team in some scrimmages, and
you probably saved all those men's lives by losing.
You're right. We may have.
You could be a hero. They're just thanking you. If it weren't for that blonde Canadian man,
Papa would be
dead.
You never know.
let's move on to some cannabis news because I like to talk about stuff. One of the things that was interesting that I saw in the news, and we were looking at that, they found a correlation that in states that have legalized or made cannabis legal, there's been less school shootings. Isn't that interesting, huh? They've regulated cannabis in these states. They found a decreased level and least amount. So the highest amount are in ones that don't have also if cannabis is illegal.
Now, this might be one of those, one of these studies that doesn't really take in the full amount of data, because the legalization is in states like Montana, where there's like six people versus, states where there's, there's basically a gun per or two guns per person type thing. So, I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not something there, but I don't know.
Colorado, maybe. You know, obviously had Columbine, one of the worst school shootings ever. And when, they've legalized weed for 10 years now. In some areas of the state, they were able to monetize that money to pay for after-school programs for the next 10 years.
So we're talking not just the impact.
I think when you talk about when certain states, I think there's a sweeping impact that comes with it. And in a lot of these states, what they've looked at and gone, well, actually, keeping kids for after school or giving them a place to go afterwards will stop them getting into gangs, stop them give them something to do. And also the mental health aspects. Colorado and a lot of other states have addressed the taxation problem by putting the tax towards where it should go, which is education after school, making sure that young people are aware, make the right choices, and also have somewhere to hang out instead of, just doing nothing. They don't have the mall like we did. They don't have the great abilities of the mall. And so,
there's got to be a lot of variables to take into consideration. But I think, for sure, that if the majority of the population is using cannabis, that it's going to be much more relaxed and mellow, for sure. You can't deny that.
Well, but I think though that, just like you know, lotteries and stuff, if money's being used to pump into, as Wade said, going to the right things, the money that wasn't there before, you do solve other problems, right? And, you know, and who knows, maybe some of it too, by legalizing, you know, it also reduces potential things like, you know, drug selling and gang related issues, you know, because it's just not available to sell anymore because it's legal. So, I mean, there's probably a huge amount of, you know, trickle down benefits from an economics perspective that, you know, that have a benefit. And look, I will let you guys chat more on this one, but I want to touch on the weed outpacing cigarettes, because I think it's there's a tie in here as well.
Yeah.
That's
well, you're correct in that. And basically, to your fact, Sean, that 1 in 6 currently admitted, 17 that they smoke cannabis, and 11% admit to smoking cigarettes. However, when you look at the growth of this, to that point, that in 4% only 1969, or in 1969 only 4% had tried it, and now we've seen an huge incremental growth in cannabis and decrease in cigarettes. Interesting. What are your thoughts on this, Sean?
Well, I think it's I think this one is probably got the hugest impacts, you know, in the next 20 to 25 years. I mean, again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to tell you all the benefits and how much better weed is than cigarettes, but we know how bad cigarettes are, right? I mean, so if you move people from, you know, smoking on a regular basis, or you move people that are trying cigarettes and move them into something that is, I'm not going to say good for you, but less harmful. I mean, it has a massive impact on the health system, which has a massive economic impact overall, right? I mean, you're spending less money taking care of people that are basically killing themselves with cigarettes. You know, that's, I think going to long term, that's going to be good for everybody.
Did you ever smoke cigarettes?
Does it count if my dad used to hotbox me in the car?
Yeah, no, you get away with that one.
Okay, no. Craig, so then the answer is no.
Craig, did you ever take the devil's stick?
No, I mean, of course, you know, joke around with it, you know, smoking at parties, but no, I never bought a pack of smokes for myself. Absolutely, I don't know, just didn't like the taste and the whole smoking the smell and everything, so never got into it. But I mean, it can be also, you know, the times are changing with what looks cool. Maybe it looks cooler to smoke weed now, so there may be some people following that trend rather than smoking cigarettes are less cool now.
Yeah, I never did either. I mean, even high school, minority, even university and beyond that, even I think more of a minority. It seemed like the late 90s, a lot of our friends all smoked, particularly drinking. And I was always that, I don't smoke. Interesting what I find, though, you know, because we all saw the fall of big tobacco and, you know, the stuff that they put in. You know, I remember when I wrote for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, drop in a thing here. But we looked at the most addictive substances on the planet. And, you know, alcohol, they ranked them out of 100, and alcohol was like a third, 25. Cocaine didn't actually register because it's not actually physically addictive. It's mentally addictive. Heroin was like 80. But cigarettes were like 83. But it wasn't tobacco. It was all the additives they put in it. It was all the ant killers. Mm-hmm. It was all these other things that made cigarettes that much more addictive. When you find here in the UK, when people smoke weed, they always add cigarettes to it, which, you know, in Canada is a punchable offense. You know, like, you just and they burn at different temperatures. Like, it's just not, but it's a UK thing. It's
Oh, I think a European thing too. I remember. Yeah.
Because they have shit weed.
Europeans rolling a joint and one puffy. Like, oh no, that's good for me, man. With the tobacco in it.
Yeah. Garbage.
They don't mix.
You see in Colorado now, we talked about Colorado, you get the online orders, which is the future, I guess. I mean, you order online. And then,
well, you know, they tried that in California, but when it was that suit, you know, kind of the in between, there was all those delivery services that were trying to copy the Uber model, right? So, I mean, it's not, they're not the first to go for it, that's for sure. But I mean, basically, because of their legal structure, I mean, it means it's going to be no problem for them to have delivery services and online and ship it in the mail.
But right now, yeah, I didn't get that. Right now, you can order online, but you still have to go pick it up in person.
Yeah, but that's
with ID. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, on one
but
hand,
you could do like a drive through. I think in a way, you could do drive throughs and things like that. So it would make it easier that you would have an express line, you know, because if it's a busy dispensary and say you've got a very intricate order, like some people are just, you know, some people are like, imagine being behind someone in line at a weed shop and they just take hours, you know, you're just like, oh my God. And that one over there, does the peanut butter taste? Would it be full peanut butter or half peanut butter?
Is that a sativa?
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, you hopefully want that person.
Is that a hybrid?
Just to order online. The other thing you saw that New York, the farmers market, in the Hudson Valley, bringing growers and dispensers together. Man, this is community. I mean, because New York is all over the place with it, isn't it?
Isn't that entrapment?
It could be.
I think part of it though is you know, things like these farmers markets. I think, you know, would it happen here in Alberta? No. I mean, why? Is because it's so accessible that there's no need to build that community. And I don't think anybody would. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't exist or it wouldn't happen, but I wouldn't say it would be a big draw. I think places like New York, and to what you just said, where they're all over the place on the legality, where you can get it, you know, these corner shops are selling pre-rolled, you know, spliffs and stuff like that. I mean, I think that's what makes it interesting. And that's what gets people excited, is like, oh, I can go do that. And I can go do it actively. No one's gonna, you know, I can't get in trouble for it or whatever. But I think where it's become more common, I think you wouldn't get a bunch of people gathering around in Vancouver, you know, at a farmer's market, I don't think.
Especially, they're not allowed to smoke it there either. You can only buy it, apparently.
Oh, interesting. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I would imagine that there's no alcohol allowed. But I would imagine, yeah, they probably say, yeah, you can't smoke it in the farmer's market. And everyone's like, that's a park over there, right? Yeah. And then,
well, I was going to ask, what are the laws in New York State or in New York City? What's going on there?
From what I understand, and I'm hoping the viewers, that the many thousands of viewers listening will correct me, it's legal in terms of they've allowed it, but in terms of dispensaries, they're still struggling with it and the licensing, because they have so many that are opening up. And, you know, New York, they've opened up marijuanas and things like that. It is legal, I believe, for recreational use and consumption. In terms of where you can smoke it, I believe, probably like Canada, it's you can smoke it where you could smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you also would most likely not be able to smoke it around schools, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, public transit. But in an area like that, you know, if there's a public park or somewhere around there, you probably could smoke it.
Okay.
I think when I was back in Ontario last, you could smoke it where people could smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, being rural up here, like, it's just, yeah, you're in the country, in the forest, so you don't think about that. I don't
your
even
hot box in nature, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, in Toronto, even, I'm not sure, yeah, what the etiquette is, actually, to be honest.
I tell you, the last time I was in Toronto, it smelled like piss. Sorry, go ahead.
I think in the last time I was in New York, which is fairly recently, I mean, mostly any of the shops you saw were in either Soho or NoHo area. Outside of that, you didn't really see many, but in those areas, they were quite, you know, big weed leaves on the, you know, painted on the doors and stuff like that. So, everyone's going to get there eventually. I think, look, just to kind of go back to this health thing, I mean, we were touching on a bunch of stuff, but, you know, and we were talking about Vancouver, and one of the things that drew, I took note of was this, you know, this study that was done where cannabis was used to manage opioid cravings, which yeah. obviously is a big issue in Vancouver. And they found that more than half of the people using it actually found it successful to curb their need for opiates, which I think is, you know, quite amazing in itself. I mean, obviously, moving to cannabis versus your daily opiate hit is a positive. It would be nice mm-hmm. in next few podcasts to get somebody more health focused in our interviews, because I think there's some interesting opinions, and it would be nice to get those opinions from people with some health background, because I think there's a lot of the medical side that is one of the reasons why, you know, cannabis was allowed and legalized in a lot of places for many years before dispensaries where we can buy it today. They were, you know, justified under, you know, prescription, right? And so that was the original hack of how do you get your doctor to write your prescription for cannabis. But I think a lot of that sort of passed over now because it's become a lot more recreational in the discussions.
I totally agree with that. I mean, and the opioid crisis was, when you sort of look at it and just go, how the hell did this start? Like, why did this start? Why were all these needless pills overprescribed? And now we're in the free fall and
business, man.
Yeah. But when a plant was there all along, and now we got to come back to the plant to save everybody. And you're right. There, we do need to talk to someone more, and we will. We are reaching out to people. We're building this, everyone, and I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Or there's someone else out there that would like to talk. Contact us.
There are. There's lots of people who want to talk. We know the world is a talky place. And you're,
so why don't we spend a couple minutes waiting to talk about some of the guests that were, you know, we don't have to name people's names, but some of the types of guests that we're working Gates, to bring on to the show.
Elon Musk.
Hey, I saw
Pamela Anderson.
Looking through some of these links, I saw Bill Gates had a podcast and Seth Rogen was and his wife were on it.
Yeah, it was about swinging, though, I think.
Weed involved?
I think they've got a giant bong. I don't know. Look, everyone's embracing this. We all know it's coming. And Canada is so myopic, I think, in some ways. It would be great to talk to people about it. No one really wants to. But you're right. We want to talk to health professionals. I want to talk to people in Scotland because I think, you know, I'm passionate. And the Canna biz is, it's got to be legal here. UK has messed with it. But you know, it's a global thing. We're global citizens. All of us, we love the plant. What else do you want to talk about, Sean? Do you think that we need to address?
Well, I mean, just on some of the guests I'd like to bring on, I've got a friend in Thailand that moved there as an artist and opened up his own weed shop. And he's got lots of opinions as the change in just the government up and down has scared people, made them excited. But it's boomed over there. And I've got a lot of people that are in the creative and music industry that, you know, have a pretty strong opinion that are interesting, and they want to come on and chat with us. And I think it'd be interesting to bring on some of our investor friends that are investing in this space and talk about, you know, the risks and the benefits and the upsides that they see in the whole cannabis industry, not only domestically, but as you said, as global citizens.
Unlike the youth of today, we knowingly admit we don't know enough, but we want to learn. So that's why we want guests on that have so much information they can impart on us and give us that. Craig, what kind of people would you like to have on the show? Please say Pamela Anderson. Not related, by the way. They're not related.
No. I have met some people in Ontario that I'd like to, that got in on the business early on after it got legalized. They tried to do a topical company and met like huge roadblocks along the way and eventually had to abandon the project. They're trying to work on other things now at a different angle. So yeah, something local here. I spend a lot of time in Thailand, so I also have some contacts. I think that'll definitely be an episode then. Foreigners living there that got really involved recently in the move to legalization there, or the use of anyways. And international friends living in Amsterdam now. I got a good buddy I'd like to chat with there. So, yeah, I think it's about, yeah, looking at the planet as a whole and getting some people involved and talking from those different parts to connect the dots.
And I want to talk to pissed off people. I want to talk to people who lost their business. I want to talk to people who ran into government red tape that choked them. I want to hear people's stories that had a dream and it got stolen or obfuscated or just something, because that's it. We want to hear about your cannots. We want to hear about, oh man, something was going so good and it didn't. And because of this, to me, those are the passionate stories.
Yeah.
I want to quickly mention before we go that Tilray, we all know, the cannabis beverage people, they bought, and I think this is interesting that they bought 8 brands from Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've always talked about this and cannabis beverages getting bigger and craft brewing. Actually, there's a lot of craft brewing in America, I guess, because they had too many of them have gone tits up. But Tilray pivoting themselves into not only alcohol and cannabis, but I think being aware that this is all, you know, potential that there, you can mix them all together. You know, Sean, you've got a lot of experience in this kind of beverage. What do you think of this?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not sure if the plan is to mix them or just make more options available. I mean, you know, one of the club that we're members of, they actively carry those drinks, and you know, I've had them a few times, and I think maybe for a person that doesn't use a lot of cannabis and they're not very strong, but I kind of like them. They're kind of a chill drink to have in the afternoon and low in calories, so they're always.
Those are British CBD though. Those are British CBD. They have nothing.
No, we have them in Miami as well, right?
In Miami, they'll be different because the CBD that you're allowed to get in England is like this Holland and Barrett got nothing 0.5. You know, you'd rather suck a ginger root.
Okay. I've never had the one in England. I've only had them in Miami by the pool, and they seem to have a bit of punch.
You didn't have any in Canada, Sean?
I don't think they carry them at the house in Canada yet. So, oh no, they do actually. I've not tried the ones in Canada. I've only had, anyways, the point is the one I had in Miami, right? It's, and they're cheap too. Like, I mean, relatively speaking, like, you know, let's say a beer is like, you know, $10. They're always like $7 or $8. So, I mean, they're tasty. They're low in calories. And they usually, you know, again, they make you kind of feel a little nice as you're chilling out by the pool. So anyways, that wasn't the question, Wade. I think the question was just more on overall. I have a friend who works for a large investment organization, insurance and private equity and all that kind of stuff. And he was involved in investment in the cannabis industry more than 10 years ago, including in Canada. And he had told me 10 years ago that due to the health differences between alcohol and cannabis, he just thought that all of the major brewing companies would eventually move at least half of their production to cannabis drinks. One is that they could give a similar kind of buzz as they can get from alcohol, but two is that generally it was better, right? And it was better for you. And therefore, if people became intoxicated on, you know, cannabis-based drinks, that the, you know, the long-term health impact of that, which they could, you know, they could both, you know, measure and also, you know, profit from, would be beneficial. And he thought that's exactly where it was going to go. And there was all these like mixologists and, you know, people that were being hired up at huge salaries. But again, this was 10 years ago, and we're 10 years later, and there's still only, you know, I would say a sprinkling of cannabis-based beverages in the market. And again, I don't know if it's a regulatory issue, because that obviously, you know, that kills business every day, or it's just that, you know, the concern or the, you know, concern or challenge of trying to move, you know, large amounts of people from, you know, beverage or alcohol based drinks, which I also understood are more expensive to make than these cannabis drinks.
Really?
Huh. Well, they say from a beer brewing process, the cannabis is supposed to be less expensive than going through the whole barley and malt process.
Yeah, but again, okay.
I'm no expert in this.
Yeah. It would be good to get an expert. And I think, you know, it does make sense because you talk about barley and the malt and refining everything, mm-hmm. but you've got one other plant that might be able to do itself. It'd be great to talk to a brewer to see what those potentials are. Craig, you've been drinking.
Yeah, there. That's why I asked. Was asking Sean. I think I was pleasantly surprised the first time I had a drink here coming back. I thought, yeah, I'll just buy one of these. Go take the dogs for a walk, and I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes there. Boom! I was like, oh, that's what these are. Wow.
So is it probably a THC or a CBD?
Yeah. No THC ones.
Yeah, those are the best.
Yeah,
no, I haven't had one of those.
Okay, so that's why I'm like, you know, compared to going to a bar, buying one of those over, that would be, you know, several beers or shots later, I think. Well, it's a totally different buzz, of course, but yeah, you buy less of it, I think, if you're THC drinks.
And that gives us definitely a potential for a great futuristic episode. What would the bar industry look like in 10 years if we have a mostly THC beveraging, which affects people a different way? And how do people go out, particularly with the cost of living crisis now, you know? Mm-hmm. Would you rather just go to a like-minded place and, you know, pay a membership, five quid, $5 a month, and just hang out and, you know, just do that with your life.
So Wade, what you're saying is cannabis could save the global crisis around the cost of living.
I'm not just saying it. I had it tattooed above my ass.
Right. Well, what did you do with the other tram stamp that you
but
had?
It's unfortunately, it says cost of loving, which is I'm trying to get fixed because that sounds
Leave it, dude.
It makes a whole different thing. The cost of living and the cost of loving, especially above your ass.
Look, a pot leaf. Perfect.
I want to end on a question, a statistical question for you guys.
Numbers? Oh man.
It's Canada Fitness Test, everyone. Only these guys know what I'm talking about. One thing with Tilray and these guys getting involved in this is they all believe that federally it's going to get legalized. You know, we have an election coming up. It's looking nightmarishly Trumpish again, I guess. But my question is it with 38 of the states somewhat legalizing cannabis, what do you think the percentage chance of that it's going to be fully legal? Cannabis fully legal in America in the next 10 years?
I think it's inevitable, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to like this, you know, I'm talking at least two presidents.
It's taking time. You can see advancements, definitely, even if you look at the states individually. You know, it's slow. It's slow up here too, but
there are certain states that still don't look at. You all know America. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, I giving that one a little thought.
I mean, there's still gay marriage and there's still abortion like that's being repealed in many of these states. There's still people going, you know what? It's not a woman's right to choose. Okay, well.
So I think this is what's going to happen. I mean, well, first of all, you need, in order for it to be federal in the U.S., the FDA has to get involved, right? I mean, that's basically, you've got to give FDA the mandate to regulate manufacture, marketing, distribution. That's what they do for tobacco. And until that happens, and the only way for that to happen is that you need, someone that's federally elected to drive it. Now, the good thing in the U.S. is, and I believe this is also the case even with cannabis, is I think that you could have an executive order during a administration sign off on legalizing or federally regulating cannabis, and therefore give the mandate to FDA to actually start doing the regulation. Again, I'm not 100% sure on that, not being not knowing the little bits of what executive orders can do, but they look like they can pretty much do anything with an executive order. Now, the only problem is that that's not necessarily permanent, right? But I'm not 100% sure, or I'm not even very confident that we're short term from a federal regulation of cannabis. I think the states have aggressively, the ones that are into it, have gone out on their own and regulated it and legalized where they thought was appropriate. And I think the federal government, because of politics, will not wade into this one quickly, because there's not a lot. There's, it's basically like a 50-50, right? You're going to have some people that are going to love it and some people are going to hate it. And all they're going to do is run a poll on it. Can I get more votes if I go for legalization? If 70% of the population want it, then they're going to do it, right? I mean, that's just the way it works in American politics. Whereas if they just leave it alone, the states are already doing it, right? And there's nothing stop. They're not getting involved in the state business. So I'm not sure we're going to see federal regulation in the U.S. in the next 10 years. I think it's going to, there's so many other bigger problems that are going to drag before that one comes up.
I agree with you on that one. I don't think the way the world is right now with the situation in Russia and Ukraine and cost of living, for a president, and as you say, is going to have to make a sacrifice to basically federally push this through, to die on a shield or something like that, or a sword, during these kind of crises. Look at a state like Utah. You know, it's never going to want weed legal. You know, they don't want booze legal. So are you going to force weed on them? America's got this sort of fractured unison. However, they need it federally, because you've got, you know, states like Iowa, who are surrounded, three states around them that have weed legal, but you can't. And if you travel with it, you get arrested. So I can't see it, because, you know, with so many other different things going on, and if it is, which, you know, most likely will be a Republican president coming in, a Republican president is their first order of business is not federally legalizing weed.
No. Yeah, but I mean, how did it happen in Canada? I think that was a shocker to me.
I think just
a political move. And,
well, the Harper government originally looked at that. There was actually, we know the Conservatives originally looked at it, but we're told by the Americans you can't do it. And the Canadians have looked at it for a while to do it, just like we tried to take on Turks and Caicos. But weed was something we always looked at.
Yeah, I wish we did.
We should have taken on the Turks and Caicos. That's another podcast.
But yeah, I spent 6 months down there. Anyways, yeah.
So anyway.
I think Justin did it so that he could, when he became single, hit the bars and, you know, do it with all his new friends. So I think he had a plan. I think his plan was he knew it was coming, and he just thought, hey, I'll get out, make it legal, and he's going to be out on some canoeing trip with you pretty soon, I bet.
Oh, no, really? Wow, I'll get him into the dugout, and I'll sort things out.
It's all getting a little dirty here, guys. Folks, thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Cannabis. We're having fun doing this. And please, we've told you what we're looking for. Please reach out. Get in contact. You've got our vitals. Contact us on Twitter and on our website. Thanks for listening.
I said, no, I really smoked it. And I also inhaled. Unlike some people claim.